The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
We thank you for being here. Most of the conversation has dealt with Josh Heupel. We did have Shane Beamer on, and we are really thrilled to save the best for last. Our good friend Berger McFarland, we are barely able to pry him from Tom Brady's house to come back and do our show. Booger, good afternoon. How's everything in Bradyville?
Hey, you know what, Paul? Everything is great down here. Everybody's excited. The Super Bowl will be here in less than 2 weeks, and Tampa, Florida will be the Mecca, although I don't think a ton of people are coming, but a ton of people will be focused on Raymond James Stadium in about 11 days.
Well, you're a former Buck, and I'm sure it has to be a great feeling. And let me get you to the antithesis of that story, where people are pulling their hairs out, and that's the University of Tennessee, where Josh Heupel was named today from Central Florida, following Danny White from the other day. It has not gotten great reviews, although some people are being more sympathetic, Booger, saying, what else could Tennessee do? Give us your view of where Tennessee is right now.
Well, Paul, the way I see it, Tennessee did the best they could. And, you know, for as much grief as we gave Danny White by proclaiming UCF the national champions, and, you know, I can't wait to talk to him and ask him, was he serious or was that like just some formal little stunt there? I think Danny is outstanding as an AD. I think that was a home run hire. And when you task him with hiring the next coach at Tennessee amid everything that's going on there now and what's expected to come, I mean, who did the Tennessee faithful want? I mean, did they think that James Franklin was going to leave Penn State, where he's built a program, to come to Tennessee where, I mean, he could be on 1 or 2 years probation? I don't know if that's feasible. I don't know if you're James Franklin if you do that, unless Tennessee was willing to overpay. And here's what I mean by that. I think Tennessee could have gotten the coach they wanted maybe if they were willing to go, say, $10 million a year. But I don't think the people at Tennessee were willing to do that. But in order to get a coach to come deal and clean up with what's going on now and clean up what's to come, you're going to have to overpay. And we're talking 4, 5, 6 years for $10 million a year. And I don't think Tennessee, even the most staunch Tennessee alum and faithful, were willing to do that. Now, with that being said, I like the hire of Josh Heupel, because what you have to do is, when you hire this coach, you had to hire somebody that Tennessee was going to be an upgrade or a promotion for them, regardless of the sanction. Josh Heupel checks that box. Number two, you had to hire somebody that could do more with less, because Tennessee is going to be void of talent depending on what they sign in the signing class, depending on who leaves via the transfer portal. Heupel has proven he can create offense with just a few skilled players down at UCF. Now, he's recruited and built that up, but he's proven he can do that. Check. And thirdly and lastly, I think he had to have somebody that was a big enough name that people knew who he was. And if that person had some SEC ties a little bit, that was great. And I think Josh Heupel checked all three of those boxes. So if you're a Tennessee alum, what more were you looking for under the circumstance?
But Booger, that's where reality and self-fulfilling prophecy clash, because you could say this about any fan base, or at least the majority of the fan bases, that we all tend to think a lot more of ourselves than maybe we really are. And if you look at the hires in the SEC lately, these are not the biggest and the brightest in the industry. There's some very low-key hires, especially this year.
Well, Paul, what you have to look at is you have to understand that 2020 being the year of COVID, so some institutions' finances were going to be a little bit limited. And also, just because these aren't big names, you know what that means, Paul? That means we aren't recycling the same names over and over. It's amazing. Every time a job comes up in the SEC, everybody says Hugh Freeze. You know why? Because that's the only coach most of these people know, Hugh Freeze and Gus Malzahn, and the same old names. Well, guess what? Now you have, Brian Harsin at Auburn. You have Leah at Vanderbilt. You have Beamer in South Carolina. Now you have Josh Heupel at Tennessee. These aren't household SEC names. And so everybody in the SEC just kind of gets in an uproar where, I wanted Hugh Freeze. Well, do you really want Hugh Freeze? Or do you want Hugh Freeze because he's beaten Alabama a couple times? And so what I would tell people, and I would tell you this is the same thing, Paul, let's give these young up-and-comers an opportunity to see what they can do. Yes, they're going to be judged against the big boys, against Saban, Smart, Orgeron, Mullen. That's who they're going to be judged against. But let's give them an opportunity and see if they can compete, because guess what? At some point, they're going to get on the field, they're going to kick the ball off, and we're going to see if Beamer can hold up in the East. We're going to see if Heupel can hold up, down in Ben Hill Griffin Stadium. We're going to see if Clark Lee at Vanderbilt bit off more than he can chew. And so we can criticize the hires now, and we can worry about the press conference now. I don't care about the press conference. What I care about is, can these guys get in there and get their teams to play to their optimal level? And I think you and I both know when Tennessee is humming, Tennessee is a national power. Well, guess what? Tennessee hasn't been that way in a long time. So I hope the fan base is ready for realistic expectations over the next 3 or 4 years, because it's unrealistic for them to compete for a national championship in the next 3 or 4 years. I think if you're Tennessee, you got to give Josh Heupel time. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be a ton of points. But the key will be, who does he hire as the defensive coordinator? If he hires somebody that has some pedigree, somebody that has some experience, somebody who's good, to me, that's going to be the key for Tennessee. And I think Tennessee fans thought that Jeremy Pruitt was going to bring all of that plus more. And, you know, he brought the more. It just happened to be probably coming with sanctions.
In terms of a defensive coordinator, he had Randy Shannon at UCF, highly respected guy. I don't know whether Randy's in the mix or not for that job. Is he someone you think that could make a difference in Knoxville?
Yeah, you know, it just depends on whether or not he wants to bring and come from Tennessee. You know, Randy right now is the interim at UCF. I know Randy. Randy is a very, very good coach. He's been with Josh Heupel for a few years now at UCF. Heupel kind of intimated that he was going to be able to go down and bring some of the coaches, and you expect him to do that. Those are guys he hired down at UCF. Those are guys he trusts. So I'm assuming he will bring 4 or 5 of those guys down there. And I'm pretty sure everyone wants to know, well, what's he going to do with Kevin Steele? If you're Josh Heupel, you hire the best coaching staff you can, and if Kevin Steele is a part of that, great. If he's not, then you know what? You got to hire the people that you think are going to give you the best chance to succeed, not the people that are going to please the fan base and please the alumni. Because at the end of the day, the person that has the answer for the school board on Saturdays is Josh Heupel. And he's got to be responsible for who he hires, and I'm pretty sure he's going to hire people that he trusts.
Finally, Booger, you've talked about the staff. Just for recruits out there who are looking around and those who can go other places, what does Josh Heupel have to sell right now other than opportunity?
Well, I think if you're a quarterback, if you're an offensive guy, if you're a skilled player, Josh Heupel can promise you one thing. If you come to Tennessee, I almost said UCF. If you come to Tennessee, we're going to chunk it around. I'm going to give you an opportunity to make plays, and I'm going to give you opportunity to show what you can do. He can sell that. So I have no doubt that Tennessee is going to be able to get some dynamic skill players and a quarterback, Josh Heupel being a quarterback himself. But that ain't it, Paul. What's going to separate him in the SEC is, can you stop people? Can you get the defensive line that is going to be able to stop people? Can you get linebackers? Because regardless of what people say, there are a lot of teams in this conference that can score some points. Lane Kiffin is outstanding. He scored 100 points just about every game. But look at his record, because they don't have the personnel on defense. So you got to be able to stop people in this conference. And I think Josh Heupel is going to figure that out really quickly. And if he would ask me where I would devote my resources and where I would devote my time, I would devote it on defense. And when it comes to recruiting, you know, I listened to his press conference. He talked about putting a fence around the state of Tennessee. Well, I got news for you. The state of Tennessee is great, but you can't win the SEC off the state of Tennessee. So what I would tell Josh Heupel is this. Yes, you have to put a border around Tennessee. You have to take care of your home state. But you better put some resources in Virginia. You better put some resources down in Atlanta. Because if you're Heupel and you're Tennessee, you got to start there. Yes, Tennessee was a national power. They are not that anymore. So how do you start where you are now and grow to become that again? You got to start around home base. That's Tennessee. That's Virginia. That's Atlanta. If he'll just do that in the next couple years, Tennessee will be on their way back. But the alumni, the faithful, the people that really love Rocky Top, they have to be patient and understand this. This thing is a long way from 1998 when it was T. Martin and Peerless Price and Peyton Manning and it was good old Rocky Top and Smokey was rolling. We are a long way from that. They're going to have to give this man time. I don't know the length of the contract. Hopefully he got 5 or 6 years because it's going to take that long, in my opinion, before they can get back to a point where we say, you know what, we may be talking about Tennessee on SEC Media Day for a positive reason on the field.
Great stuff, as always. Booger McFarland, thank you for making time. We will hopefully talk to you again in the near future. Booger, be well. Thank you so much.
Anytime, Paul. Take it easy. I'm about to go see what Brady's up to now.
Give him my best. Tell him I'm a big Patriots fan. Booger McFarland joining us. Unbelievable. We miss Booger on this show now that he's actually back in college football. We will take a break. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Been a busy one. We had Shane Beamer on. We've spent a lot of time in Knoxville. And we are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And we welcome you back here on this early Wednesday night. Mitch is in South Carolina. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, Mr. Paul. How are you?
Mitch, we're doing great. Thank you.
First off, please allow me just a second to address something, but I do have a statement I want to make after I address this. Sam in Tennessee, you admittedly said you hardly ever watched the Paul Feinbaum Show. So please do not make judgment calls based on your few times that you watch it. This past summer, this past fall, and this upcoming spring, Paul means the world to a lot of people. And not everybody agrees with who he likes or who he doesn't like, and he doesn't agree with who I like or who you like. But the man respects everybody. Show him some respect. That's all you have to do. Watch the show, and you'll find out that there is love in this man's heart. Now, with that said, I wanted to make a, I don't know if it's a statement or observation, as I man told me the other day, I can't read between the lines. But anyway, this had to be a hard, hard interviewing process for the Tennessee athletic director, because I almost believed that he was also being interviewed by the coaches. They were asking him questions like, what kind of infractions would I be walking into that we're facing later? He had to worry about the secrecy, the honesty, who he interviewed. Would they go out and, after the chancellor's already through the school under the bus, he can't go out and interview a bunch of people and have a bunch of coaches know all the information that he knows. So it had to be a hard, hard interview.
Well, Mitch, the answer I think he gave is this. He would tell anybody who asked, "Hey, I was in your spot a week ago. The chancellor and the president were coming to see me, and I was asking the same questions." And I think that's a good icebreaker.
So, I mean, I'm just saying, not everybody was going to be willing to.
No.
And,
you know, we don't know. I think I know what happened in the search. I think he swung big and found out that the big time names didn't want any part of it. So he then began to narrow in on a couple of other names, some familiar names that we hear all the time. And I think he eliminated one or two that the average fan, including myself, would have thought would have been great. But for whatever reason, they didn't like, and they ended up. This was a comfort hire. You know the phrase comfort food.
Yeah, he's very comfortable.
Yeah, he knows this guy. There's nothing in his closet that he's concerned about, which is pretty important when you're walking in to a toxic dump like the situation that Pruitt left behind.
I agree. Can I ask you one question that you could answer?
Sure.
Okay, the prospect of Jeremy Pruitt getting a show calls has been thrown out there, and that has been used as saying that he's probably going to be maybe untouchable for a while. What is the difference between the type of show calls he might get and what Dan Mullen got?
That is a superb question, and I am going to have to get you a better answer than I'm not sure. Because it is serious.
I mean, it looks like Florida didn't even blink an eye.
No, it didn't. I'm pretty eager to talk to somebody down there about that because I really don't understand it, and I will get you a better explanation. I think there are obviously levels because there are some show causes. Bruce Pearl had one for 3 years. Now Dan Mullins may have had a short lifespan where it extended to X number of dates where he couldn't do certain things, or maybe he already served it. But Bruce Pearl could not work in college basketball for 3 years. That's why he went to work at ESPN. And when that show cause was lifted, he got the Auburn job. So I think there are various riders you can put on one of those.
I understand that, but I mean, Florida's administration didn't even come out and reprimand him publicly or anything. But anyway, I'm going to let you go, but I'm so sorry that man talked to you that way.
Well, let me say this about that, Mitch. I don't mind. Some people like to do things like that, and I'm used to it. I've talked to a lot of folks over the years, and whenever someone starts a call off by saying, I just happened to walk in the room and my kid had your show on because I never watch you or listen, you know what's coming, okay? This is not going to be, I want to thank you for all you do for mankind. This is going to be a crowbar to the head.
Well, I'm sorry, but I defend the people I care about and I love, and I care about you. And
well, Mitch, I want you to understand, though, and I really appreciate it, but, you know, I don't mind that. That's fine.
Well, I don't mind him criticizing you, but he didn't have to be so crass.
Well, I think some of this stuff is pretty revealing. He's a Tennessee fan, which is great. He clearly doesn't like Alabama. He was, you know, to me, he was doing forget my role. I mean, he was diminishing the accomplishments of Nick Saban. You've got to work pretty hard to do that. I mean, that's pretty stunning when you think about it. So that's okay.
It shows what good a person you are that you excuse him.
Well,
so I accept that.
Thank you, Mitch.
You have a good evening.
You appreciate it. Let's see what time it is. Where are we, Mark? Are we about to head out of here? Okay. Well, let's go to some more calls then. Jeff is in Bristol, Virginia. Jeff, go right ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you for having me on this evening, Paul.
Thank you.
I want to preface my question to you with a statement here. You were talking to one of the reporters earlier, and I think he made a valid point. You know, some of the recruits, there's only so many times, and I think maybe you said this, there's only so many times a head football coach can say, "I texted Peyton Manning." you know, and I'll preface my question with the fact that, you know, Peyton Manning was my favorite football player of all time. Got to see him play Vanderbilt in Neyland Stadium and then followed his career at Indianapolis and Denver. And, you know, but a lot of these guys that are being – well, all of these guys that are being recruited now, the only time they've ever seen Peyton Manning on a television screen is probably in a Nationwide commercial. you know.
True.
And I love – like I say, you know, I love Peyton.
Oh, you have
to. For, you know, grateful for his career at Tennessee and everything that he still does for the organization. But, you know, with Heupel coming in now, you know, do you think it's important that he reaches out to some of these guys that are being successful now? I mean, like Alvin Kamara,
absolutely,
Derek Barnett,
yeah.
Shy Tuttle. You know, these guys that are on successful.
Jeff, let me
right
jump in here. You have to mention Peyton Manning. It's the first line of every press conference, and that's great. But you also have to be able to relate to. I mean, Kamara. I mean, you can't do any better than Alvin Kamara. Hate to run. We are heading out of here now. We'll still be available on radio for the next 30 minutes. We're heading to a basketball game. So we hope you enjoy the game or move over to the radio and watch us. But regardless, we'll see you tomorrow if you're leaving us now.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Welcome you back, and we continue here. Your phone calls at 855-242-7285, and Rodney is in Virginia. Hey, Rodney.
Hey, how's it going today?
It is going great. Thank you.
So I tell you what I was calling about. You know, you mentioned earlier about maybe Coach Pruitt's public speaking skills.
Yep, that would be charitable, yes.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, that would be a charitable way of putting it.
Well, I'm not going to deny that there's a lot of times that he left something to be desired. I just want to say I was listening to the radio station last week, living up in Virginia. I was on the road coming back from Tennessee, and I was listening to some of the local radio stations, and they kept talking about how Pruitt didn't understand Tennessee's culture. And it made me think that what they're saying was that there are some prominent boosters at Tennessee who expect you to smooth them when you're the football coach. And he wasn't doing that. And so it really seemed like maybe they were willing to crash the program to get someone who would smooth them. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you know something interesting? That is always a problem. Not always, but it usually is because, you know, boosters like to be massaged. And I don't know if Jeremy was as bad at that as maybe some people. I just think he was an assistant football coach, and he has a mindset. And it's hard to turn that off and become a CEO. And because there are so many demands on your time. I spoke earlier with Shane Beamer, who's a young coach, even though he grew up around it. He said that every morning till night that there's just no time in the day because there's media, there's recruits. Recruiting is nonstop. I sat with a couple of years ago. I mean, normally I know coaches, and maybe I'll have lunch or dinner occasionally when we're in town. But we spent the evening during the national championship game with Brett Bielema when he was at Arkansas. It was a 4-hour show we did, and he was with us the whole time. he never looked away from his phone. And I asked him, I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm on Twitter. I'm on I'm texting. He said, these young guys, you have to keep up with them every 30 or 40 minutes, or they don't think you care. So that's a big part of it.
Well, I'll tell you one other thing that I heard about this, and I don't know personally, but from people I know down in Knoxville, and that's that one thing Jeremy Pruitt had done, and if you think about where he came from with his experience at Florida State, Georgia, Alabama, he understood the importance of recruiting, and he was really allocating a lot of time and money to recruiting for Tennessee, which I think the fact that they were able to stay competitive despite their inconsistencies on the field is a tribute to that. And I'm a little nervous anytime anybody new comes into the SEC not realizing the kind of time and money that recruiting takes to be competitive in that league.
Yeah, the only thing I will say about that is this, and I thank you very much for your call, but I think considering Heupel went to the University of Oklahoma and coached there, I think he understands big-time recruiting because OU is at the top shelf. So, you know, Missouri's a little bit different, his experience there. Missouri recruits ferociously, but they don't recruit at the same level as OU or Alabama or even Tennessee. But you make some good points. I thank you for calling. Let's continue. And Buck Wild is up next in Florida. Hey, Buck.
Hey, good evening, Mr. Feinbaum. I was just wondering if you were as surprised as I was that Tennessee gave up on John Gruden so quickly.
You know, Gruden's always that guy that is going to be the next Tennessee coach. I talked to Gruden about that once. I saw him somewhere. And I think there was a moment when you could have gotten John Gruden, but that moment, unfortunately, has passed forever. Jordan is up next in Asheville, North Carolina. Hello, Jordan.
Hey, Paul. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you very much.
I know there's a lot of people have a lot of opinions, of course, about the hire with Tennessee. And, you know, rightfully so. There's a lot of unknowns, and people want to question a lot of times what they don't know. But there was an article I saw today. Someone had posted this on Facebook, and it was a picture of a Facebook article, of a newspaper article. It was posted 21 years ago, and it said why the New England Patriots won with hiring Bill Belichick was the name of the article.
Wow.
And you know, and it's shocking because everybody's a prognosticator, and, you know, and everybody has an opinion, and everybody has the ability to post things and put their opinion out there. And, Paul, and you do a great job of what you do, and I know you get a lot of criticism from people, and here's the thing that you got to remember, Paul, and I know you've been doing this for a long time, is that there's only one person that's on the phone that's getting paid to do what they're doing. So you keep doing what you're doing, Paul. We appreciate you, and you know what, Tennessee, we just got to get Heupel a chance because you never know, he might be the next Bill Belichick. You just never
know.
Thank
you very much. No, it's a really good story to tell, and I was able to spend some time once with Mike Krzyzewski. And he was nearly fired early in his tenure. I mean, there are a lot of great stories like that. And I think the frustration for Tennessee is that this is the same movie times four. And it is frustrating. And I think the most frustrating part wasn't the coaching change. It was the fact that a whole new regime had to be brought in because Philip Fulmer was in that position. And he had respect, and he deserved it. But you know, he was gone before you could even blink an eye. And, yeah, Danny White has a great reputation. And, you know, he will run this athletic department efficiently like a business. But it may not everyone may not agree with him. And I think he was stung today by some criticism in certain circles, which I doubt he was expecting. Let's continue. And more phone calls. And Patrick is in Fayetteville, Arkansas. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, Paul. It's always a rush to be on the Feinbaum Show.
Well, it's great to have you on.
Appreciate it. I was going to ask you, Paul, what does it take to be a good anchor? Maybe the top quality it takes. I was at a party a couple years ago in Fayetteville, a party I didn't want to be at. But anyway, I was bored with the conversation. lady friend was having with a couple guys. So I turned around, and there's a weekend news anchor talking to a couple girls. I introduced myself, and I said, hey, I like your work. And I said, you know, I was watching John Chancellor back in the late 80s. He was like in a symposium on C-SPAN. And he was asked, what does it take to be a great anchor? And he replied, the ability to fake sincerity. And so this girl goes ballistic on me, this weekend that's anchor funny. Here in Fayetteville, and says, that's not true. And I said, well, what's not true? What he said or what I'm telling you he said? My girlfriend's tugging on my shirt tail saying I can't take it anywhere. But I don't know what her problem was, but I was going to ask you what it takes.
Yeah,
to
I'll tell you what. Radio and television are completely different, and I've done them both, as you can well imagine. And I hated television early on because I was not a natural fake sincerity guy. I mean, I'm a newspaper person who worked in radio, and then suddenly you're on TV. And you have to look happy. I'll give you one antidote on that. Before the SEC network, I was hired a year before the SEC network launched. So they had to find something for me to do during the first football season. And my boss at ESPN asked me if I wanted to go and be on game day the first week. It happened to be in the Clemson, Georgia game. And I went, and it seemed to click, and I ended up doing the entire season, to make a long story short. But one day, I went out and taped something early on. Herb Street and those guys, they didn't want to get there at 5:30 in the morning, so I was always like the first guy there, and I taped like a SportsCenter segment. And I happened to be watching it, which is taboo. You're never supposed to watch yourself in front of TV people. And Lee Corso walked in the room, and he was watching me. And he looked at me and said, Paul, what is wrong with you? I said, what do you mean, coach? He said, you know the most important thing on television? I said, what's that? He said, you smile. He said, you can say Nick Saban's the worst coach I've ever seen, but if you smile, people like it. And I had the hardest time, Patrick, doing that because I was so serious about what I was saying. I could not fake the sincerity. Now, I've gotten a little better, not much, by the way. But, you know, one of the keys to Corso, he's always laughing. He's always smiling. So do you realize that most people don't watch television and listen to what they hear? The TV's on. So if somebody is smiling, it looks like they're having a good time.
All right. Yeah, makes sense. I don't know if you read the last Vanity Fair, but Connie Chung was interviewed. And she was asked, what was it like working with Diane Sawyer and Barbara Walters.
Right.
And she said, well, that was not unlike what Tonya Harding did to Nancy Kerrigan. Then she was asked, what was it like working with Dan Rather on the CBS Evening News? And Connie says, oh, well, that was like being in a scene of Psycho in the shower.
Oh, my goodness. I need to go back and read that article.
Yeah, it's just...
You know, I will say this, anyway. Patrick, and I don't want to bite the hand that feeds me because I've had a blessed career, but television personalities and radio are unique individuals, and they take themselves perhaps more seriously than even politicians, if that's possible.
Yeah. I see, Paul, we lost a great actress today. I guess you saw that, Cloris Leach.
Oh, I did, yeah. She was fantastic. No, I'm I paid too much attention to the obituaries.
Yeah, me too. That's what happens when you get in your mid-60s. Last Picture Show, I guess you saw that, right?
Yeah, no. I used to my mother used to read the obituaries, and I never understood it, but then again I was 25 years old. I didn't get it.
Yep, check them every day, man. I appreciate it, Paul.
Hey, thank you. Yeah, and the old line about the obituary page, you check the obituary page every day to make sure that you are not in it. We'll take a break. A few minutes to go on an eventful Wednesday. We are coming right back. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.